Blog Talk Radio.
We believe in the American way, and we built this country called the USA, and we fly our flag because we're proud and free. We're Americans. Red, white, and blue is our way of life. Never back down from a challenge or a fight. Nature provides, God gives the right. We're Americans. Make up America, but it's amazing America.
Welcome to our Convention of States podcast, That Provident Article. This podcast series is a weekly discussion concerning the fifth article of the United States Constitution, the amending provision, with a general view on the phrase convention for proposing amendments and specific focus on the Convention of States project. My name is Paul Hodson. I am the co-director here in the great state of Texas. Each week we meet to educate ourselves on Article 5 to promote the Convention of States project and its use of Article 5 to rein in our federal government. For more information regarding the Convention of States project, I invite you to visit www.conventionofstates.com later in the show, if opportunity allows. Our call-in number is 914-205-5632. Further contact information is available at blogtalkradio.com for That Provident Article. We want to thank Madison Rising, America's most patriotic rock band, endorsers of the Convention of States project, for the use of all the music here on our episodes of That Provident Article. Please visit their website at www.madisonrising.com. In a quick review as we begin our show, Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution is available there in full on blogtalkradio.com on our site. We particularly look at that phrase, convention for proposing amendments, as initiated by the applications of two-thirds of the state's legislatures. And we want to point out the subject matter of our application at the Convention of States, 3 points: impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and limit the terms of office for its officials and for members of Congress.
And welcome to this February 6th episode of That Provident Article. Today is the anniversary of Ronald Reagan's birthday. 105 years ago, Ronald Reagan was born. We welcome you this morning to our Convention of States podcast. And before we get into this week's news, here in Texas we have some other news which is sad and has grieved our hearts. Our primary sponsor, Rick Miller, our legislator who carried our bill last session and is going to carry it again for us this coming session, has a wonderful wife, Babs Miller, whom we have met and we had a chance to get to know a little bit down in Austin last year, and she passed away suddenly and quietly in her sleep this past week, this past Tuesday, and our condolences have gone out to Representative Miller, and we lift him up in prayer and send all best wishes to him and ask for the Lord's arms to be wrapped around him in comfort at this time. It has been a difficult week for us here at the Convention of States Project, even with all the wonderful things going on around the nation and some great things going on in our state, but it has been with very heavy hearts we have done some of our activities this week here in Texas. But let's go ahead and move on to the news, the Convention of States news around the country. And, of course, there was some big news this past Thursday. Tennessee became the fifth state to pass the Convention of States application. There's a link to a YouTube video there on the slide, and they join Georgia, Alaska, Florida, and Alabama is the five states which have now passed our application. The final vote in their House was 59-31. I had a chance to watch at least a little bit of the live stream of the debate, the presentation on the House floor in Tennessee on Thursday. I take a little bit of pride in that state as well, as that's my home state where I was born in Tennessee. So congratulations to the volunteer state in Tennessee. And we should have some more great news of states actually passing all the way through. Also, this past week, same day, the Indiana Senate passed our application by a vote of 34-16. So another big win for the Convention of States. So far, we've not been killed in any legislature this session, this year. So we are doing well. The momentum is growing. And we're very excited about what has been going on with the Convention of States around the nation. And I want to apologize a little bit for my voice. I'm feeling a little under the weather this week. been run down by a cold. I think I've just done a little bit too much after coming back from overseas for nearly 4 weeks, and we have been doing so much here in Texas. There's some things I'll be able to share with you in the coming weeks as to what's been going on here. And of course, that really kind of segues into our presentation on the Texas plan. We had an introduction last week. Let's do a quick overview of the Texas plan as introduced by Governor Greg Abbott on January 8th. He unveiled that plan at the Texas Public Policy Foundation 2016 policy orientation. It was in the keynote closing address. We've included a video of the entire speech and a link to his document, Restoring the Rule of Law with States Leading the Way, the attribution there. On slide two of our presentation, quick, again, we're going to encapsulate the overview, which we actually did very briefly last week as well. This document addresses all three branches of the federal government and also the states, and it describes the key problems in each branch and the states, in the Congress, the executive, the judiciary, and in the states. It prescribes constitutional solutions or solutions for each problem, and it describes and defends the Article 5 state-initiated amending process. And today we're going to concentrate just on that first section, Congress. So if we go to slide three, the Congress and the problem. And real quickly, as the governor states in his document, Congress is broken. And how is it broken? You can just say, you know, people are frustrated, and he actually gives some great statistics in the disenchantment which the electorate has with Congress. But what's the real problem? And we can look right at the beginning of our Constitution. We've talked about it before. The most important rule in any document or any organization is who has the power to make the rules, and that's the first thing that our Constitution addresses. Article 1, Section 1 states, quote, "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives," unquote. So, a couple main points here that are brought out in this one sentence. Congress is vested with only those powers, quote, herein granted, unquote. So those powers which are defined within the Constitution itself. There are no inherent, implied, or unenumerated legislative powers granted to Congress, bestowed upon them, that they can take to themselves on their own whims, at least not as the Constitution is written. Point number one. Point number two, it's important to note what the vesting clause does not say. Throughout the course of the convention, many powers were removed from Congress. It began, of course, with the Virginia plan in the Constitutional Convention. There were other plans that were also presented. New Jersey had a plan. And Congress had some other enumerated powers which got removed through the debate process, through compromise. And what was some of the things that were removed? At one point, Congress had the power, the authority to veto state laws. They had the authority to legislate where states were, quote, incompetent. That could be interpreted in many different ways, a word like incompetent. So only the enumerated powers is where Congress has the authority to legislate. Slide number four. So the problem continued. So the states retained great power over the federal government. That was the intent of the Constitution, to have the states retain that great power and Congress to have very limited power. But today, as we know, which is why we're here, why we even have the podcast, this is not the case. The federal government has usurped state authority in the use of regulatory power, including authority over livestock, fishing, canals, health care. And I'm just pulling those. Governor Abbott gives some great examples in his document of actual cases dealing with livestock, fishing, canals, of course, health care. The Constitution reserved to the states the authority to prosecute all but three specific crimes. And those three crimes that are reserved specifically for Congress in the Constitution are counterfeiting, piracy, and treason. And you can understand why Congress has the power in only those three areas, those crimes. Counterfeiting has to do with our currency, and it's a national currency. One of the big issues, one of the big reasons we had a constitutional convention was that all the states were printing their own type of money, so we needed a common currency. And of course, if there's a common currency, you need to have one legislative authority which has the power to both mint the money and also to prosecute any crimes of counterfeiting. Piracy, that's something which would typically be on the high seas or on the waterways, and those are navigable waters which can be in dispute between states. That's something which Congress needs to have the power to be able to prosecute crimes of piracy, and typically those would be from another nation upon a member state, you know, be it a ship or possibly even now be it some other form of transportation. But piracy being reserved the prosecution to the Congress, and of course treason, which is something, an action which is taken against our nation, the treasonous action, so it makes sense, again, for Congress to be able to prosecute those types of crimes of treason. Well, now, as we know, federal law imposes thousands of criminal penalties. And here are some examples. And again, the document is wonderful that Governor Abbott has laid out. He has some great examples. Obviously, his experience in prosecution, his experience as Attorney General, and of course, just seeing what's happening around the nation. You can read up all kinds of crazy stories. Some of the criminal penalties include feeding killer whales, failure to fix an overflowing toilet, letting a dog off of its leash at a beach, and importing flowers without federally mandated paperwork. So some of those things you can see, certainly the states could take care of something like that, especially letting a dog off its leash at a beach. A state can pass a law on that. It doesn't have to be the federal government. Governor Abbott's point is not necessarily that some of those regulations shouldn't be imposed, but that the federal government doesn't have to do that. The states have the authority under the intent and the original meaning of the Constitution to do so. And they should do so and take that authority upon themselves. And the states can then compete with each other. You know, that was the whole idea of our nation as a republic of sovereign states, in that those states could enact different types of laws, different types of means of policing their own people, their own citizenry, and then the people could make a choice as to where they would wish to live. And those competing laws would actually then make, and in the competing states, would give incentive, of course, for you to treat your citizenry well, and to try and entice them to come and live in your state. On to slide number five, continued. The second problem, which is and it's labeled the constitutional solution, the second issue, the Commerce Clause. We have talked about the Commerce Clause many, many times. The Texas plan would prohibit the federal government from regulating any activity that is confined within a single state. Now, that sounds real simple. Let's go ahead and talk this out a little bit about what that means. The abuse of this clause is the single biggest culprit in Congress's decades-long pursuit of self-empowerment. And we've talked just briefly already about the regulatory branch of the government and all those regulations which have come down. Well, the original intent of this Commerce Clause was specifically to limit the authority of Congress to regulate any activity except that which is enumerated in the clause. And here's the clause and the controlling language of that clause, which is very short. Quote, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Unquote. That's it. That's what was enumerated for Congress to have the authority to regulate anything dealing with commerce, obviously with foreign nations. Again, kind of the idea with piracy, same type of thing. Do we want to have states involved with that? That's something that has to be dealt with at a national level when you're dealing with commerce with foreign nations. And amongst the states, again, this is one of those issues which was came to be an issue under the Articles of Confederation, the states and their uneven trade practices amongst themselves. So that's something that Congress needed to have authority to step in and actually to be able to regulate so that there was some consistency amongst the several states. And then, of course, the Indian tribes, which are a nation in and of themselves. There needed to be some consistent regulation for the Indian tribes. Let's go on to slide number six. The second point in Governor Abbott's plan, the Texas plan, the constitutional solution dealing with the spending clause. And a quote from his plan, quote, the Texas plan would require Congress to balance its budget, unquote. So the second biggest source of abuse is the spending clause, otherwise known as the general welfare clause. And here it is. It's, again, a very short in our wonderful Constitution. Quote, Congress has the power, quote, to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, unquote. Well, the original intent of this clause was to limit the authority of Congress to spend. Now, after decades of abuse of this clause, it's been used by Congress to do whatever it wants with federal tax dollars. Of course, we've covered that in various episodes, and of course, you can go out to our website on conventionofstates.com and see some presentations. And anytime you wish to look at our news events, we used to cover news more extensively. This seemed to be one of the common threads in our news, is how Congress would spend money on some ridiculous things. Of course, the other common thread was the great abuse of the regulatory branch, as we like to call it, in the federal government. Slide 7. This is our conclusion before we get to our attribution. The Texas plan. Congress, what's our constitutional solution to the spending clause? Those things expressly enumerated in the Constitution for spending, those are the only things which the federal government should be spending money on, and it's not a whole lot. The military, the courts, and the establishment of post roads, those were the things that are expressly enumerated in the Constitution. So the Texas plan would require the president to submit a balanced budget to Congress every year and require Congress to enact a balanced budget every year. Now you say, well, what are they going to do if they don't? Well, you can always write legislation or write an amendment which has controlling language, and that's what the plan has. Failure to meet those requirements, submitting a budget and then enacting a budget, would freeze spending at 90% of the previous year's levels. So that's quite an incentive to actually get a budget submitted and to get a budget passed, and it has to be balanced. Well, of course, then the other question becomes, well, won't they just go ahead and raise taxes to go ahead and make sure that they balance that budget? Well, the Texas plan also specifies that Congress must balance its budget by cutting spending and by freezes taxation at 18% of the GDP. It's not going to have that loophole where Congress can go ahead and jack up our taxes so that they can then meet their requirement to balance the budget. This is very similar to some other ideas which have already been out there, proposed amendments. Mark Levin's book has some similarities to this. Governor Abbott's plan actually distills the amendments in a much more concise manner. It has always been my contention that we have yet to see any of the amendments that will actually come out of our convention, because once the delegates, commissioners, begin debating, discussing, and coming up with different ideas, there's going to be something which is probably at least a little bit different from anything we've seen. And finally, our last slide is, of course, our attribution. Again, we've looked at so far is the actual document, Restoring the Rule of Law with States Leading the Way, which was presented by Governor Greg Abbott on January 8th, and the link there to Restoring the Rule of Law. And if you can't remember the link, or if you're only listening and not seeing the slide, simply Google Greg Abbott, Restoring the Rule of Law, and it will take you basically to his website, the governor's website, where he has that document. Terrific document, lots of great footnotes, fleshes out a lot of things which we did not cover here. We just covered the surface. He fleshes out lots of wonderful examples. Next week, we're going to go ahead and tackle the next section, which is the executive branch, the presidency, and see what the problem is there and the constitutional solution. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines, open those up. A reminder, our call-in line number is 914-205-5632. That's 914-205-5632. I'm going to go ahead and vamp for a little bit while we wait to see if any calls come up. Quickly, some ground rules again to speak respectfully while we're discussing these issues. To keep to the subject, we don't want to kind of wander all over the place, so we're discussing the Texas plan as best we can, Convention of States more in general. You're free to ask me anything along those lines. I will help you out as best I can with answers if I know them or answers if I can share them. And we want to encourage dialogue. So we listen to each other. We don't try and shout over each other. We want to give each person the chance to speak. Again, our phone number is 914-205-5632. Let me just again remind you and encourage you, if you are of a mind, to lift up our brother, Representative Rick Miller, in prayer at this time of grief. We would just ask that everyone here, not just in Texas but around the nation, lift this man up. Let me give you a real quick story. Our introduction to Babs, his wife. We had a meeting, one of our strategy sessions, our first one down in Austin. We met in Representative Miller's office, and he's got a longer table there. He was there and his chief of staff, and there were six of us sitting around the table, and he also has a couch in the back of his office, and Babs was in there. And this was a 2 or 3 hour meeting, and she was there, and she was not just there as an observer. She would interject, and you could see Representative Miller look over to her quite often. She would come around sometimes and come and speak with him, but she would speak with us. She participated, and it was really intriguing and fascinating and wonderful to see that interaction with the legislator, his wife, and our team. And we kind of took her under our wing and saw her kind of as our project and our convention state's team mother. And it's been quite a blow to us this week to lose Babs. And of course, for Representative Miller, it's a big blow to him. We again ask you to lift him up, that he might be comforted. We were just amazed at how they worked together, and we remarked on it after that meeting. We actually talked about what a pleasure it is and what a privilege to work with someone who has a marriage like that, in which they were so complimentary to each other. Again, our phone numbers, if you wish to call in, 914-205-5632.
All right, I'm waiting on the line here for calls. Again, I ask you to forgive my voice. Still fighting a cold, and I have some important meetings and sessions and events this coming week, so I'm hoping I get over this. For those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, let me just remind you, February 9th, which is this coming Tuesday, we do have a big event in Dallas at the Museum of Biblical Art in the Preston Hollow area, 7 p.m. We have Mark Meckler from the Convention State Project coming and Senator Tom Coburn, our senior advisor. This is a town hall. They're going to give some quick, short talk and introduction to the Convention of States, but mostly as a town hall. They want to take some questions. So a lot of question and answer time from about 7 to 9 p.m. We expect some media to be there. I can tell you we've got some special guests going to be there, which will be pretty exciting. If you have an opportunity to come on over into the Dallas area, we would certainly love the support. And we are very excited about this event as it somewhat kicks off our 2016 session all the way through as we lead up to the legislative session in 2017. We'll have some other things to speak of, which we are dealing with in the next few weeks and months. We have a big primary coming up here in Texas on March 1st, so there's all kinds of campaigning activity going on. Lots of questions being asked around the state. I know I've had several groups ask me, what kind of Article 5 question can we ask? Governor Abbott did us a huge favor. This is no longer a fringe question. If somebody asks, this is a fringe question, it's a very easy question to ask. So those of you in Texas going to these candidate forums, here's the easy question to ask. You know, where do you stand in regards to Governor Abbott's call for a convention of states by his Texas plan? He's made that a priority for the legislative session. So you can ask your legislators or potential legislators where they stand on this issue. It's certainly fair game, and you may get some interesting answers. We have a lot of folks who've responded to our surveys we've sent out, our legislative liaison has sent out, lots of positive support. We still have some folks who are scared, and if you watched any of that Tennessee debate, you still see some, especially some Republicans, who are scared of the process. They have fear. We want to go ahead and allay those fears, and if they have any questions, they can certainly come to our website. They can email us. We certainly would welcome any of that. For now, no calls this week, it looks like. I'm going to go ahead and let our friends from Madison Rising, again, play us out with the Star-Spangled Banner.
And thank you once again for listening to that Provident article. We appreciate your listening. My name is Paul Hodson. I'm the co-director here in Texas, the Convention of States Project. We want to thank Madison Rising for all the music that they provide here, our intro and outro. Go out to their website, www.madisonrising.com. We invite you also to go out to our Convention of States website, www.conventionofstates.com. We want to thank the Convention of States Project, Mark Meckler, founder and president, Citizens for Self-Governance, Michael Ferris, head of the Convention of States Project, and a big, big thank you to our entire Texas Convention of States team. And we invite you to join us again next week for another episode of That Provident Article.